Father, we just want to use this time to come before you this morning to just realign ourselves with you. We get distracted and pulled away so many different times throughout the week that especially with communion today, it's just a good time to remember what we need to be doing, just be able to reflect upon how we need to be presenting ourselves to the world, how we need to be representing you, and we just come in here this morning with that goal of just recharging us to be able to do that. That there's just so many times we get distracted by wanting to accomplish the things that we think is right and the things that we think need to be done, and just kind of glorifying ourselves, if you will. So we thank you for an opportunity that we get to come together this morning and just regroup and just have fellowship with one another, have prayer time with one another, and just kind of just recharge your batteries. So we just thank you for that this morning. We want to pray for especially the Curlew Church this morning. As you know, many of them are sick, and they're sick enough that they actually had to close their church this morning. There's so many people in their congregation sick, so we just pray for them that you may just heal them. They're just an outreach of our body, just as we're sitting here. So we want to give them encouragement and support and ask that you can just heal the ones that are sick this morning. We want to pray for just all the other people that we know are sick that are fighting with things. We have so many people that we all know sitting here that are dealing with different cancers and different sicknesses and health issues and just hiccups along the way that you know who they are. There's many of them that can come to mind, and you know who they all are that need that healing and that support this morning. So we bring them before you, whoever it is that's on our mind this morning. We just pray that you can bring them that peace and comfort, and just ultimately heal them if that's part of your will. And if it's not, just allow them to be strong through their battle, and just look for a way to just encourage somebody and bring glory to you through what they're fighting with. We just ask for this morning for our nation, as it's just gross, just evil, just stuff that we can't even wrap our head around that's going on, that we just pray that you continue to expose that evil, that you just start holding people accountable for the evil that they're bringing upon this nation. We want to bring the sins of this nation before you. So many times in the there's been people that have confessed the sins of their nations, and that's what we want to do this morning, that we know many things that are happening across this nation is directly wrong in your eyes and harmful against you and slapping you in the face. And we want to bring that before you this morning and say that we're still here and we're still fighting for this nation. We're still fighting for you. So just please use us as a light in this world where we need to be. And we want to, we just use us mightily, Father. It's easy to be a light in a dark world, and this is definitely dark. So just give us the courage and give us the tenacity to continue to work hard and try just to show your faithfulness towards people. We want to just pray for our little ones downstairs this morning that they may just have a fire ignited in their souls, have it be something that they can take as they're getting ready to go back to school and go into different environments that they've been out of for the last few months, that they're going to be around new kids and different people and whatever that may be, that just use them as little lights to their friends and their buddies and their just people that they don't even know, to their teachers, to whoever. Just use them mightily. There's so many good things that can come from little children. So we ask that you can give them that foundation and just keep building upon it. Keep giving them the fire that they need and the fuel that they need to let that fire just burn so bright when they walk into their schools and around their friends. And for this morning, we just pray that you can help us to be authentic this morning, to be real with one another. This is a time where we get to spend intimacy with one another before you and for you, and just allow us to do that with a pure and sincere heart. In your son's name we pray, amen. So we're going to, if you're in chapter 11, this is something that we've read so many times before, but it's good to just have a little bit of repetition and remembrance of really what communion is and why we do it. There's probably times that we could do this. It's kind of just a habit, or you will, of a ritual of what we do here at this church, but it should be something, you know, that we could do far often more. And it's just kind of a good check, if you will, and just to realign ourselves with what God's doing and what He's got for you, being in this body. So I'm going to read, if you just want to hold your place, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read something. When you have communion, we all know it's the Last Supper, is what Jesus is talking about when He's going through that, and it's the Passover. There's a few points before that I want to bring out that may kind of change your mind on how you look at this and make it a little more real. But in Luke chapter 22, in verses 14 and 15, it says, "When the hour had come," this is speaking of Jesus, "He reclined at the table, and the apostles with Him. And Jesus said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So have that in your mind, that Jesus is earnestly looking forward to this time when He's going to sit down with His disciples. I've never read that before and brought that point out to... He knew what He was going into. Obviously, Jesus knew what was about to happen. And what did He do? Is you got to think of the emotions and the things He was dealing and feeling with, knowing that He was going to be separated from His Father for that time. That's never happened. He never has done that. He never had to do that. He knew no sin, and He was about to be separated from His Father and take upon all the sins of the entire world. And so you got to think of the emotions that was going through Jesus' head at this time. And what did He do? He was earnestly desiring to be able to just sit down with His disciples, with the people who loved Him, who knew Him, who cared for Him. And that was what He wanted. Before He was going into battle, what was He looking forward to? He was looking forward to sitting down with them. I look at it as Jesus even wanted and needed that encouragement. How many times do we look at things, you know, that we know are going to be a fight, we know are going to be a struggle, when we get that bad phone call of somebody's sick or somebody's got cancer or somebody just got in a car wreck, or we know we've got to look into a surgery or something that's, you know, happening with us, that what do we do with ourselves? Do we sit and do we fret about it? Do we worry about it? Do we try to mask things however we do? Or do we just surround ourselves with people who can encourage us, with information that can encourage us? I look at that, and that is an awesome picture of our church body, is do we utilize our church body with one another when we're going through tough things? Do we do that? Jesus did it, so why don't we? We try to mimic ourselves with everything else that Jesus does, so why don't we try to do this? He was going up against the hardest thing that was ever going to be done on the face of the planet and all of history and all of eternity. He was about to do it. And what did He do? He wanted to be around the people that could encourage Him and support Him and that he was in tune with. So I thought that was cool. And then just to kind of bring that back is in 11, back in Corinthians, is 11:23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed." So there again, He knew what was going to happen. He's sitting there at that table, knowing that they're blatantly going to betray Him and walk away from Him, and yet He still wanted to be surrounded by them. He didn't see them for their failures right up front. He didn't see them for their faults and failures and whatever they were going to do. He knew that was His emotional support system, and yet he hung out there. So just kind of have that in mind. That's just kind of a different angle to kind of look at things, is if you put yourself in Jesus' shoes, it can make this kind of look a little bit different. So we'll just continue reading on. So 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' The same way He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" So a new covenant, when it says that, that's the new relationship. He's saying we have a new relationship. Because remember, He's looking at where they didn't have a relationship with God like we do. He is the new covenant because he was that he took his substitute. I can't pronounce the word, but he took the place of all the sacrifices, all of the things that the priest and everybody was supposed to bring on the altar before God. Jesus took that place. So he was able to show these guys, you're going to do something different. You're going to be able to have an intimate relationship with me because of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have somebody do it on your behalf. Because that's what they had to do. The Old Testament before Jesus was crucified, they had to have somebody go before God on their behalf. So the new covenant is it's a new relationship. And that's like us. We are made new. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are made new. So you have that same relationship, what he's talking right here. The new covenant, you have that. We have that ability to go right before God. We don't have to have anybody do it on behalf. We don't have to have anything in between. It's that direct relationship that we get with God the Father. So remembrance, and then when it says remembrance, it says that, do this in remembrance of me, is a time of spiritual intimacy with God. It's a time to slow down and look at your relationship with God in a different light. That's what he's saying, in remembrance of me. We obviously use him in our day-to-day operations, our daily activities that we do things. My analogy or example of how I would do this would be like a date night with your spouse. When you go on a date night with your spouse and your kids are away and you have no distractions, you don't do anything, you get to have a different relationship with your wife. Do the day-to-day operations of your household still take place? Yes. You still have to work through different battles. You have to teach your kids things. You have to do all that stuff. It's just like God, we get to use him and work with him and expound on our relationship with him through our day-to-day activities, just like in our household. But then when we get time with intimacy with him, when it's one-on-one, when I'm one-on-one with my wife, and it's just us and there's no distractions, then we can really talk about things. We can be more sincere about things. It allows us quiet time, just that deeper intimacy and that sharing, and it's refreshing. Doesn't mean that our day-to-day operations go to the wayside. We still function together as husband and wife in our family during the week and during our days, whatever. But if we get that quiet time alone, we get that date night where all that distraction goes away, it allows us just to refresh ourselves. And that's what communion is. It's saying, remember, do this in remembrance of me. Put away all of the distractions, obviously, but then this is to be something more in depth, more intimate, more sincere than when I'm walking through my life and I'm praying to God and I'm working through this and I'm asking for help in this struggle and whatever it is that I'm using God for in my life. That's my day-to-day operations with God. Communion is a time where we just get that quiet time, that intimacy, to have that deeper relationship, and when we can really come to him and we can open up because we don't have that distractions. That's what communion, when it talks about remembrance, that's what that is. It's just the time to freshen up our relationship. And then proclaim, when it says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Proclaim it. There's three different things with proclaiming. We got to evangelize. We have to tell people through this on who Jesus Christ is. We got to proclaim that because there's people that don't know who Jesus is. We all know somebody that doesn't know who Jesus is. So if we go out and we're to proclaim that, we're supposed to proclaim the name of Jesus to the people that don't know who he is. That's what evangelism is. Give them that light. Give them that hope. You're supposed to proclaim the defeat to Satan and his army. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says that we have victory through our Lord Jesus. Do we own that? Can we say that when we're in our battles? Are we, when we're face to face in that situation of that sickness or whatever, or that problem at work, or this person we just can't figure out how to deal with, or the society that we live in, do we proclaim that Jesus has already defeated Satan? Do we proclaim that? Because there's all sorts of people around us that are stuck in that rut, and he tells us to go out and proclaim the name of Jesus, that Jesus already conquered that. Satan lost. It's over. So why are we struggling with letting all that stuff go? And then to proclaim it to others our victory in Jesus over sin. That's one another. That's the communion. That's to the other believers. Do we proclaim to them that Jesus conquered that sin? What are you struggling for? What are you trapped in that for? Are you encouraging to them? That's what we're here for one another for. That's what a church body is to do. That's why we can pray for other churches all across the nation. It's a church body. We're still together in this fight. Yeah, we're geographically located different. You're in a different town than I am. You're in a different family than I am. But we're still in this together. So if I see you struggling, or you see me struggling, or we see somebody struggling, we're supposed to go and we're supposed to proclaim that, hey, Jesus conquered that sin. He died on the cross for that sin. Why are you making that a lifestyle? Why are you struggling so much with that? Can I help you conquer that? How can I help you see a different path than falling into that all the time? That's what we're supposed to do by proclaiming it. So, we need to take it seriously. Verses 27, I'll just read it, or we'll just kind of cover it quick, and then we'll get going into prayer. But we're supposed to take it serious. That's what 27 through 32 is we need to take it seriously, and we need to recognize the significance and what it is. That it's something that God ordained and designed to encourage one another. When it goes through, and therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, but a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. We got to check our motives. What do we do what we do for? For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick and number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so we would not be condemned along with the world. God ordained this to be a function of the body, not to go in and exalt ourselves or do whatever. It's together. Well, I'm better than you at this. I'm better. I conquered that sin and you didn't, so this is how you do it. That's not what it is. It's working together. It's encouragement. That's what communion is. So with that kind of a background, it's what we're going to do is we're going to pray now together. And it's when we just covered in Matthew last week, when we talk about things like that pure heart, that sincere heart, that authentic heart. That is what this is for. If we're going to come before God and we're going to do this in the true remembrance of what he did, it's time for us to slow down. Slow down and let the world step aside for a minute and focus on what Jesus Christ has done for you. All the problem-solving devices that he gives us in this Bible, that he freely gives us, that's what this is due. To remember, just shut the world out a minute and focus on what Jesus did for you and what eternity really means when you're wrapped up in him. That will then allow us to grow a little bit in our maturity in your walk with Jesus, so when you walk out here, you're able then to proclaim the things of who Jesus is, whether it be to an unbeliever, whether it be to something in your own life, or whether it be to another believer that you know is struggling with something. That's the whole point of it, is encouragement. So, if you want to, we'll just take and we'll move over.